All right, let's tie everything now back. Go to Matthew 24. And I love Matthew 24 because the question that they specifically ask to Jesus Christ in verse number 3, he says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came on him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?'" What do they ask him about? Hey, what's going to happen at the end of the world? Well, where do you think we ought to go to if we're going to look to see what's going to happen at the end of the world? How about the place where the disciples asked Jesus and he answered them? What's going to happen at the end of the world? Well, I don't know. Let's ask Jesus. Hey, Jesus, what do you say? And Jesus answered and said unto them. And we see the rest of here, the book of Matthew 24, he's describing what's going to happen at the end of the world. Now let's see how this fits with what we saw with the six seals being opened. Let's see how this fits with what we saw in Daniel chapter 11 and chapter 12. Let's see what happens here. What is his answer? Verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Hey, don't be tricked. There's a lot of people who want to tell you all kinds of crazy stuff about what's happening at the end of the world. Don't be deceived. I'm going to tell you. Verse number 5. "For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." We know there's going to be wars. We know even from the seals that there's going to be great war. But you know what he tells us? Don't be troubled. Even when you start to see a war, and even if you think, you know what, this has got to be the first and second seals being open, we don't need to be troubled. Amen. The end is not yet. There's always wars and rumors of wars. But he says in verse 7, "For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." This is the beginning of the tribulation with the wars, with the famines, with the pestilence. Those are the first three seals. First two are wars. The third one is the famine. That's the balances, right? We read that. That was the black horse. This is the beginning of sorrows. It's tribulation, but it's not the great tribulation. It's the beginning of the time period that we might call that first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week, that overall 7-year time frame. The first part of that is tribulation. It is a time of trouble. There are things going on. There's famines, pestilences, earthquakes, things like that are happening, and wars. But it's not the great tribulation. Verse number 9. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you." Seal number 5, the martyrs. "And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another." Remember betraying one another? People are going to be coming deceitfully or with flatteries. Right? Matches up with Daniel 11. Jump down to verse number 15 here. Matthew 24:15. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes." If you're wondering earlier when I said the abomination of desolation being set up kicks off the great tribulation, well, where do you get this from? You made that statement where this points out specifically, saying, hey, look, when that happens, don't even go back into your house. Just get out. And this is, this is talking about in Judea, fleeing into the mountains, because this is happening literally in Jerusalem when the Antichrist is going to be setting up his kingdom there. And that's going to be the center point of the most persecution, I believe, against Christians coming, spreading outward from. So I don't think this is just anywhere you live in the entire world, you just have to leave immediately. But in this area right here, when he's setting up that abomination of desolation, you're right there, he's like, you better just get out. Because it's going to be the most severe right there. Go into the mountains, get out of there. That's going to start and kick off that great tribulation. Verse number 19, "And woe unto them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation. Again, where we get these words from. You know, any words that we use to describe these events, where are we getting them from? We're getting them from Scripture. And right here it says, well, then at this time, it's not the wars and rumors of wars. It's not the famines. It's not the earthquakes. It's the persecution. It's the martyrdom. It's when the abomination of desolation is set up and the Antichrist makes war against the saints. That's great tribulation. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. We see the same phrase, practically the same exact phrase used in Daniel 12. Nothing like this has ever occurred nor will occur. It's another one-time event. Just as the sun, moon, stars falling from heaven is a one-time event, this great tribulation, there's nothing that's ever been like this and nothing ever will be like this ever again. It's a one-time event spelled out. You can't say, well, there's this event and this event. No. The Great Tribulation happens one time, destroying the secret rapture. Amen. When Jesus comes back, every eye is going to see him. There's no hiding this. You can't say, oh, Jesus came back and he's out in the desert. Oh, Jesus came back, he's up over here in the mountains. No, he's not. You can't lie if you lie to you. You can't be deceived by that if you read Matthew 24, because you know that as lightning shines from the east into the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We're going to know. There's going to be no doubt. And look, when Jesus makes his entrance, there's no doubt about it. Read throughout the Bible. When God makes an entrance to anybody, when he comes down and he speaks, did anyone have any doubts that God was speaking to Moses on the mount? Nope. When you have fire and smoke and cloud, you know, and people are falling on their face, scared to death. Look, when Jesus comes, there's going to be no doubt about it. When he comes in his power to take his kingdom, there's going to be no doubt about it.